You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
9-year-old, you're so proud of them, man. There's nothing better than when a child is out on their own in a school situation or in a family situation with another family. And they act like you hope you taught them and you get word back. Wow, that's really pretty cool. And you're like, and then you look at your husband and go, that's my child right there. That's what I did. So we got a 9-year-old named Ryan Kirkpatrick who found out just from talking to his kids that some of the kids in his class didn't have enough money to buy lunch at his elementary school. And he asked his mom, could you find out how much my class owes? You know, what's the total amount of money? Now, Ryan liked to save up his money, and he liked to buy sporting equipment. See? So he does take after his dad. Yeah. But when he found out that the total balance was $74.50, he paid that for his class. But here's the thing. Well, his mother said, what do you want to do? And he said, I guess I can pay for it. And she said, are you sure? And he said, yes. He would use his allowance money to buy normally, as he said, but this time I'm going to pay it off. But here's the thing. He originally did it anonymously, paid it off anonymously. He said, I want them just to realize people actually think about them instead of just telling them what they did because you're just bragging about stuff. I want them to feel happy that someone cares about them. That is hard to say about a 9-year-old without getting choked up. That's pretty cool. And the thing is, it was anonymous. But I guess when a 9-year-old does something that profound and mature.
Love your broadcast. Love your show. Love the station. God bless you guys. And thank you.
The Sound of Life.
I was going to actually do something funny, you know, which I'm kind of known for. But then I came across a Christianity Today little tweet there about Luis Palau. And I kind of forgot about him and all the news and things going on. You know, he's got lung cancer. And if God doesn't intervene, all that, you know, it's terminal. He's in his 80s. Son's doing a great job. I love Luis Palau. I got a chance to talk to him one time. It's amazing stuff. A lot of people on the East Coast aren't that familiar with him. I don't know why. But anyway, it's just kind of the nature of his visit. But he was doing an interview, and the guy is on fire for Christ, despite dealing with all the things he has to do with lung cancer. This Argentinian-born evangelist is just full of energy and evangelistic passion. And I thought, man, here he is going through that. You know, and the molecules of death are trying to take him over. And he's just like, I'm vibrant. I love God. I want to tell you about him.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
I was talking about a bunch of bicycles that were just going to be basically thrown out because the company, Rideshare Bike Company, decided they were going to go out of business. I way underestimated the number of bicycles. This is incredible. And I just looked at a photograph of them lined up. It blows your mind. But what really blows your mind is that somebody came along and had the idea, wait a minute. Let me start a nonprofit organization, and then I can buy them up, and I can donate them to school children that don't have bicycles. Now, all this is happening in, I want to make sure I get it right now, the kids that are going to get the bicycles are in Myanmar. But the ride-sharing company there was in, and I want to say Singapore. Yeah, they were in the Singapore market. And for some reason, they said, nope, not going to do it anymore. So this man, Mike, he started a nonprofit, which is always a great idea. It's called Less Walk. That's the name of the nonprofit company. He bought up, first of all, 4,700 brand new bikes. They got the plastic on them and everything. It's incredible. 4,700. There's 5,300 more that he is going to buy, and he's going to donate them instead of throwing them on the trash heap. Donate them to the children in Myanmar who could probably surely use a bike. He may transform a lot of families by that. Seeing a need, seeing something, and then doing something about it. It's amazing. You know, when you think about the times when he thought, no, maybe I'm doing it wrong. Maybe it's not worth it. you know, maybe, I don't know, you know, and things like that. Maybe people who were his friends said, what are you, crazy? You know, and I'm sure that happens to you when you have an idea and maybe you're not on that scale and maybe it is on that scale. May God give you the strength and bless you. Keep trusting God. If he's given you that idea, you just keep pressing ahead on it, okay?
Hey, this is Crowder, and you're listening to Cup of Joe Morning Show. It's my favorite. It's how you start your day, and your day is going to get better and better.
So there was a news report about a California tourist that was rescued after being trapped in an ancient Scottish castle. Can't think of a worse place to be locked in. Well, in the, I guess it all depends on how you look at it category, Mike said, well, I could think of a ton of worse places to be locked up in than a castle in Scotland in early June. That's, of course, bound to be reopened early the next morning by staff anyway. I guess it would be okay unless you saw a spider, right?
Yeah. Waking up with a cup of Joe.
I can't stop drinking the coffee. I've stopped doing the standing and the walking and the words putting into sentence doing.
The sound of life.
Well, she was born on this day. June 12th in 1929, that's 90 years ago, on her 13th birthday, she received an empty diary. I wonder why. It's interesting. She received that diary. She lived in an era and she was Dutch, by the way, Jewish, Dutch. And, they were the Germans at that time, 1942, of course, they were rounding up Jews in Amsterdam and forced them into trains to unknown destinations, but they knew that nobody came back. And so her father told Anne, when the time comes, we shall disappear of our own accord and not wait until they come and fetch us. The time came sooner than they expected, and that afternoon, Anne's 16-year-old sister, Margot, received orders to transfer to a forced labor camp. Instead, the Franks immediately moved into a secret annex behind Mr. Frank's office building at Prinsenkrock. I probably messed up that pronunciation, but it was basically a narrow hallway connected the building to the annex, which was invisible from the street. Even the door from the hall into the annex was soon hidden behind a specially built swinging bookcase. Excuse me. And so there they were. Eight refugees squeezed into four small rooms in the attic of the annex for the next 25 months. They remained there. They couldn't make a sound during the day. They could not go outside or open the curtains. Anne wrote in her diary, "Not being able to go outside upsets me more than I can say, and I'm terrified our hiding place will be discovered and that we'll be shot." Only four employees of Mr. Frank's, he had a jam and spice business. Little factory there, knew that the boss was hiding on the other side of the wall, and Meep, I guess is her name, Meep Cheese, I can't pronounce Dutch, I don't do Dutch, and the others agreed to help, although they could be sent to concentration camps if the Nazis learned they were harboring Jews. Meeps would shop for food, and then food became scarce. They had to bicycle long distances and share rations. And Anne said the pickled kale they ate one night smelled like, and I quote, bad plums and 10 rotten eggs. I got it, Anne. Man, so things were pretty tough there. She wrote in the diary, others helped entertain them. She said they came upstairs every day and put on their most cheerful expressions while others display their heroism in battle. Our helpers prove theirs by their good spirits and affection. See? Goes a long way. Her diary? How in the world did we know that about the diary? Well, I'll tell you. One day in 1944, in fact, it was August 4th in 1944, the door opened and a man was standing right in front of us with a gun in his hand and it was pointed at us. See, somebody had betrayed them, and usually that's what would happen. Sooner or later, somebody's going to turn you in. I always emphasize that we were not heroes. We did our duty as human beings, said Meep. One of the eight refugees, only Anne's father survived, oddly enough. When World War II ended, he lived with Meeps and her husband, and he published Anne's diary. Anne had hoped to do it herself. They almost tore down the house at one time, but then they built it back up in 1999 the Queen Beatrice opened and expanded the museum. Now attracts about a million people every year, and you're welcome to go if you're ever there in Amsterdam. It's quite an interesting place. She did die in the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp in 1945. Human greatness does not lie in wealth or power, but in character and goodness.
The sound of life.
I guess if you were the mother of the Taiwanese women's soccer team, national soccer team playing the United States, the defending World Cup champions, of course, so you would expect it to be, I don't know if you'd expect it to be a rout, but boy, it was the rout of routs. It was really like, what do you say? And if you're a mother, you know what it feels like to watch your child out there in a team that's way overmatched, your team. And that happens a lot, you know, in youth soccer and stuff, and one team's just way better than the other team. And man, that's a tough thing to go through. I don't know if it makes you a better person. I really don't. I mean, 13 goals for the U.S. women's team and none for Thailand. And somebody said 12 Up Sports posted. They said 13 goals. That's hard to do with no goalie. Man, that's, you know, they were trying to be kind of trying to figure it out there. But here's the thing that's kind of neat. Average, no matter what the score, the average soccer player runs almost 10 miles in a match. 10 miles. That's why I get tired just watching.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You're as funny as a cry for help.
The sound of life.
That whole thing about anger is not caused by outside forces. You're like, what? God, she made me angry. No, remember this, as has been said, yes, people can push your buttons, but they're still your buttons.
The sound of life is priceless to me.
The sound of life.
I was talking about a pastor of a New Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Honolulu. Yes, that's considered a mega church. His name is Wayne Cordero, American pastor. So he ended up going to China. And I remember when Tom Michael Zarednik went to China with Transworld Radio, they experienced some of the home churches there that they meet. Inside doesn't necessarily mean that it's warm. Maybe a little bit warmer than outside. But he said, we huddled around our tea, and that's one of the traditions in the Chinese church. You got to have tea. And they were singing the song, Like the Deer. Remember that song? Great worship song. And he said, and I've got it somewhere. I can't find the recording of it, but I've got it. And he said, Joe, that organ was not much more than a child's toy. And we're all sitting there singing that and worshiping in a church where we could have been arrested if we were caught. And Pastor Wayne saw the same thing when he went there to train Christian leaders for 3 days. That's why he went there. And 22 Christians from the Hunan province, they rode 13 hours on a train to attend the leadership training. They sat in a 700-square-foot room with no air conditioning or couches to sit on, and he was leading the gathering. It's pretty remarkable. They said, or he asked them, if we get caught, what's going to happen? And they said, well, you get deported in 24 hours and we go to prison for 3 years. He followed up by asking how many had spent time in prison. And out of the 22, 18 shared that they had been imprisoned for their faith. The 22 had gathered come from the mountainous province in southern China, yet among themselves oversaw 22 million people in China. He said, we forget that there's over a billion people in China. He shared that shortly after they began their lesson, they were in Second Peter. He only had 15 Bibles, so 7 people went without. I said to turn to Second Peter chapter 1. We're going to read it. Just then one lady handed hers to the person next to her, and I thought, that's interesting. And then once they began reading, he quickly realized why she had given her Bible away, because she had memorized the entire book. When it was done, I went over to her at a break, and I said, you recited the whole chapter. She said, in prison, you have much time in prison. I said, they don't confiscate the Bible? She said, oh, yeah, they confiscate anything that's Christian material, but people smuggle in scripture written on paper, and they hide it from the prison guards. That's why we memorize it as fast as we can, because even though they can take the paper away, they can't take what's hidden in your heart. Whew. After the three-day study was complete, he asked the Christians from the Hunan province how he could pray for them. Could you pray that one day we could be like you, one man asked, referencing the ability to worship as desired in America? And the pastor said, I looked at him and said, I'm not going to do that. When asked him why not, he said, you guys rode a train 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you have to drive more than an hour, people won't come. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit for more than 40 minutes, they leave. You sat there for not only 3 days on a hard wooden floor. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people won't come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. We don't read any of them. You can hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize them from pieces of paper. He said, I'm not going to pray that you become like, I'm not going to pray that you become like you, but I'll pray that we become like you.
The sound of life.
I'm going to tell you about a man named Eric. Eric White. Pretty simple name. The guy's really pretty young. He's 33, but he's already been homeless for a time in his life. And he even dropped out of high school. And he's only got like a second grade education. Or at least he had it anyway. I mean, he was a teenager when he was homeless. For just, I mean, not even for a year, but still, you know. But he had to work. So he started doing construction work. And he just took to it like a duck to water. Amazing. And he worked for a couple of construction companies. And then he started his own pool company. It was neat. He called it Cool Pools. Now, he's down in Texas, where I imagine they use their pool a lot during the year. Cool Pools. He sold it last year. Sold the company for $1 million. You know what he does now? Kind of to keep busy? He creates pools, really, but you've never seen anything like these unless, I don't know, you've been to the Bahamas. He creates something that looks like a lagoon right in your backyard. It's basically a pool. But he makes it, he brings in sand. And when I describe it to you, it's just, you can't picture it. But he's the mastermind behind Zydeco Construction. And they will build you what, as you will easily say, is a gorgeous backyard beach or a pond. You call it a beach, a pond, right in your property. It looks like you have a Bahamas lagoon right in your backyard. Little, you know, stand, umbrellas and all this kind of stuff. He just using his gift to do that for people. Probably cost about like a pool does. You know, you're going to get an in-ground pool. Okay. You might want to think about this. It's a pretty cool guy. And, I'm glad I found out about that and just seen the photographs. Now I realize you're busy now. You probably don't have time to check out the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page. But I'm telling you, when you see it, you're going to want to be there. Check it out. I'm going to post it there. And sometime when you get an opportunity, check it out. There's even a video, a flyover of a drone. That's the way to do things nowadays. And it's really cool. So all I got to say is stand back.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
He talked a little, but he didn't make sense.
The sound of life.
Got to say congratulations to the St. Louis Blues NHL team. They won the Stanley Cup last night in Game 7, and they beat the Boston Bruins. So, I mean, if you're one of those people who are tired of seeing Boston and New England win everything like they did this year, almost, then it's kind of okay. St. Louis Blues have never won the Stanley Cup. So that's really good right there. Boston Bruins last won it in 2011. And that, of course, would have been a trifecta if they had done. They, of course, the Boston Red Sox won the World Series last year. And the New England Patriots, of course, won the Super Bowl. And they would have had the Stanley Cup as well. But alas, it did not happen. So I say again, that is good for the hockey, you know. Really cool thing about the St. Louis Blues winning the Stanley Cup in their celebration. And I like the idea of that cup deal. You know, big, gigantic trophy that you get to keep for a year. I think that's the way to do it. I love that. You know, put it up on top of the parade bus, watch it fall off on the street, and all the guys hand it around, you know, for different things. People use it in their weddings. I don't know. Whatever they do, it's just crazy. There's all kinds of things like that. But they had the big celebration out on the ice, and they invited a very special fan. It was this child who's going through a very rare disease and, you know, all the ups and downs of that and things. And, boy, he was having the time of his life out there. That's a big gesture to be able to do that, to be a part of that celebration. It was really pretty cool. So kudos to the St. Louis Blues, yeah.
The sound of life is priceless to me.
The sound of life.
Wouldn't you want to be looking at the Earth from the space station? All those years we've been looking at photographs that those astronauts took. How come just they get to go? I want to go look at it and see it. I mean, you know, I don't think I want the ride back down. It was kind of like that speed elevator that, I don't know if you ever went to the Windows on the World when the World Trade Center was there. Man, I had a great pleasure of doing that with a great friend from Kingston. And we had supper there. And, you know, you go up. I mean, man, it didn't take long at all. And you get out and look. You can see, like, 18 states. And you're like, and then when you finish, you're like, ooh, now we get to go back down. That's what would always get me going, you know. And now that I'm up here at the space station, do I have to come back down? Well, it's in the news. NASA has opened up the International Space Station. They've opened it up, man, to tourists. That's right. That's crazy. What are they thinking? And already companies are buying rides to fly so-called private astronauts. You would be a private astronaut. That's right. I sure am. Right up to that laboratory in the sky for a visit. All you have to do is come up with $52 million per person. I mean, can you give me a deal if I bring the whole family up there? You can purchase a seat to fly with the SpaceX once Elon Musk's space company begins flights to the International Space Station, which I'm sure will be any day now. The announcement came after NASA on Friday, last Friday, would open the International Space Station for what they call, and I quote, private astronaut missions of up to 30 days. Ooh, wow. First mission as early as 2020. Really? Wow. Things are moving fast with the International Space Station and SpaceX and all that kind of stuff. Hey, you know, maybe once they get a couple of people up there, maybe they'll need somebody to go, you know, I don't know, maybe clean. You know? What do you pay me to go clean for a couple of days? That's the way I'd say. But, you know, I mean, it's a great opportunity. I'll post the link on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page for you. And I was thinking, of course, you know, when you get back from vacation and everybody's all talking around, you're sitting around that big dinner table, everybody's talking about that vacation and stuff, and then reminiscing about the time that they were traversing, you know, and across Borneo and all that kind of stuff. And then you've got the ultimate trip in your back pocket. You can drop in and say, you know, that was nice talking about whatever it was you were, but...
You know, you mentioned driving on the Autobahn. Yeah. That reminded me. Once I was driving in the Sea of Tranquility. In my lunar rover. And I, too, was worried about our speed till I remembered, wait, we're the only ones on the moon. Oh,
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Who told you I was clever?
Oh, all your friends at the studio told me.
Oh, drat.
The sound of life.
Carrie Jobe. Right here on Cup of Joe Morning Show, Carrie Jobe. Listen close. Got a couple of questions for her talking about, you know, with her family now leading worship because it's her husband now that's beside her leading worship. So, Carrie, I guess the first question is, what's it like leading worship alongside your husband?
Well, what's cool is he traveled with me before we were ever even dating or engaged or married. Because I asked him years ago to start traveling with me and just helping me carry the weight of the night and helping me lead worship. So in that regard, it doesn't feel any different. The only difference is, like, I remember the first weekend I led worship with him as my husband, and I actually felt so free because I felt him carrying, like, the weight, the spiritual, I guess you could call it, like, the mantle of what God put on my life. We carry it together, and so that's been pretty amazing. But I love when he goes into all of his new songs, and it's been really fun.
How do you prepare yourself spiritually to lead worship?
I mean, we have an incredible home church, so we get to be in community with our pastors and our friends a lot, and I feel like that's such a massive help. But just like preparing for a night, looks like, just asking the Lord, what do you want to do tonight in this room? Because tonight's different than what was, well, you know, who came last night and what it was last night. So just asking the Holy Spirit to just speak to us and making sure if I need to share something quickly on the cross or about mercy or about, you know, whatever it is that I'm feeling in my heart for that night, that's kind of how I'll prepare.
The Sound of Life.
When the movie Grease came out, and you may have seen it for the first time in the 80s or maybe the 90s, John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John, back when they were just kids, 1978. Oddly enough, that film came out really just a couple of years after it was a Broadway play, which I saw in New York probably, I think, in 1972. Here's the deal. Boy, am I going to age myself. So I was in junior college at Lees McRae Junior College in the mountains of North Carolina. You could throw a rock and hit the state of Tennessee. So there were people there from New Jersey, believe it or not, and they made their way down. And one of them was Phil. He was a very dear friend. And there was another one, I can't remember his name. He played football for the junior college. And there was my friend Joe, who's from North Carolina. Who else went? Did Lee go? I'm trying to think. Some of the guys that went, there were six of us in a $300 Buick, and we headed out up Interstate 81 one weekend, one Friday. We left and headed up Interstate 81 to the Pennsylvania Turnpike and took it over to Trenton, New Jersey, or suburbs of Trenton, New Jersey, where Phil lived. And we stayed there overnight. And the next day we took the train with his brother, who was fluent in Italian, and we took it into Manhattan. And we went around Little Italy some and stuff, and it was pretty, I mean, you know, we're just like kids from the South, you know, like everybody else does that's tourists there. We ate in Chinatown, which was awesome. I'll never forget that. I don't know what happened. I just ate the food. I never understood a word. Anyway, and then we went, oh, wait a minute. First of all, we went to see the play. It was a matinee, standing room only in the theater. Cost about $3.50 or something. I don't know. It's crazy. But and then we went to eat in Chinatown, and then we had to hang out around Times Square, which in the 70s, early mid-70s, it was, ooh boy, it was one of the strangest things I have ever seen in my life. And you scarred me for life. No. But it's amazing, isn't the transformation? Transformation is always a really great thing. And so that's how I got to see. And so I always saw the play. And I cared nothing for the movie, but anyway, no, but isn't it interesting how you always, do you ever really get used to that big, awkward, gaudy city that has everything? The Phil who went with it, who lived in Trenton, he always used to say it's the greatest place if it just didn't have people in it.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
So Alex is her name, Alex Walker. I have to give you a little background. She's doing a great thing in Children's Hospital. That's because she knows what it's like to be in a Children's Hospital. She was 11 months old when she was diagnosed with epilepsy. Now, I don't know if you've had a child that's done that or not, but if you do, then you may know that what you're going to go through, what you're prepared, you just not know, nothing can prepare you for that. 100 seizures a day, going into the hospital many, many days out of the time. It is a real battle. And through all of this, now she's come out of this. She's 7 years old, and she's lived a lot of life. You know, she's seen a lot. And she knows that kids, I mean, boy, she's mature to realize that other younger children are going through that. She knows what they feel like. She empathizes with them. And so she started an effort to get them fluffy buddies. That's what she said. She knows that, but it's very special. So she created what she calls Alex's Fluffy Buddies. And what she's doing is raising money to purchase stuffed animals, fluffy buddies, for children who need comfort. And she knows it'll work. And she has an online thing, and she's raised more than $17,000 for this. And it's a great cause. Alex Walker, you are wise beyond your years. Pretty amazing there. She knows what it's like to have to stay inside the hospital room and be tested all the time and have seizures all the time. And so she said, you know, I love the name, Alex's Fluffy Buddies. And Fluffy Buddies, pretty correct.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
Got to say congratulations to another first-time champion of a major sport. Toronto Raptors. Who would have ever thought they would have been in the NBA Finals? It was supposed to be Milwaukee from the East, right? And, of course, the Golden State Warriors. Of course, it's a big saga because of injuries with Golden State. I know a lot of people don't mention that, but come on. I mean, you know, it was your star player, the best player in the NBA is not there. It's, as Jackie Hill Perry said, it was seemed kind of anticlimactic. But they have a great team. Kawhi Leonard led the team to the NBA champion, and there they are. And what's going to happen in the offseason, you never know. But they've never won it before, so it is good for the sport. The Golden State Warriors had won two previous NBA champions. Seemed like they were in line to win a third, and then injuries happened late in the season, of course. But, you know, they played valiantly, put a lot of pressure on the guys playing, but, you know, the backup guys got a lot of time. But congratulations to the Toronto Raptors. And, if you root for a team like that, ever since you're old enough to root for a team and they're in your city and you root for them, or even if they're not, you wear the shirts and everything, and finally they win a championship. I mean, man, that's a big deal there. So it's, like I said, it's good for the sport. So here we go. Within the last couple of days, we had two winners, and you know, the Stanley Cup in hockey and whatever that thing they call they win in the NBA.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
It's going to be like being at the beach, honey.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
If you're like me, you know, you've always kind of wanted one of those, just kind of like guys, some of the things that guys want, you know, big, gigantic deck as big as your house with three fire pits on it, you know, and all that stuff. Big Jeep with big giant tires, you know, and all that. And a boat, of course. But if you're like me, you never gotten around to apportioning that part of your paycheck to buy a boat, right? And, I mean, you got to maintain it, transport it, and get it licensed and all that kind of stuff. But now someone has come through for us. That's right. An inflatable, don't roll your eyes at me. Don't laugh yet. It's an inflatable life-size version of a speedboat that will make it look like you actually own a boat. At least if you're standing on the other side of the lake, and the lake is a couple miles across, it'll look just like you're stranded in the middle of a lake, which you will be, because I can't think of anything, a trolling motor, I think, might sink it. But it is an inflatable speedboat lookalike. It does seat six people. It's got a big, large seating area. You can sit in the front up there, all kinds around the side. It even has a cooler in it. You can put ice and stuff like that in there. It's got an opening in the center, which your speedboats don't have, hopefully. And your feet can go in the water there. It's pretty much just like a real boat, except there's no steering or motoring around, which if you're like my family, is kind of the whole point of having a boat, so you can take a boat ride. But if you just want to, you know, if you want a floating dock, which they're really cool, and you want to play around, sit out in the sun, play around, splash around in the water, get back in, it's actually pretty cool. I think I'll post a link, of course, because right about now you're like, I've got to see what an inflatable speedboat looks like.
It's Cup of Joe Morning Show
with Joe Hunter.
I'm just getting warmed up.
The Sound of Life.
I mean, it's kind of summer and all, you know, pretty much. Maybe not officially, but, you know, it's summer. It's kind of the way it is. And one of the things that goes along with summer, of course, is orange creamsicles. That is my wife's favorite, absolute favorite. If we're going by a Dairy Cream and they got a sign out and on the flavors it says creamsicle, look out, a U-turn, it's coming up. But here's the thing. Hershey, of all people, has reintroduced a Twizzler orange cream pop-filled twist. That's a lot to say. It is just for this summer, I'm thinking. Orange licorice sweets, filled with a creamy center. An ice cream treat for the beach that won't melt. The flavor was first revealed back in 2017 when Hershey launched their, quote, Flavors of America candy collection. It's a great idea. I don't know if you're close enough. That old licorice thing might have but the end to the orange creamsicled pop flavored twist.
To infinity and beyond.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.